Shell V-Power Nitro Plus fuels every drive from Lake Erie to the Ohio River with a fuel like no other. It has active coating ingredients that minimizes engine wear and tear. That means more power when you need it and more performance with every drive. Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. More power, more performance. Chances are you're not far from a Shell station. Download the Shell app to find it. Formulation unique to Shell. With continuous use of Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Gasoline compared to lower octane minimum detergent gasoline. Actual effects and benefits may vary according to vehicle type, driving conditions, and driving style. See shell.us/more for more information.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Today on The Grave Talks, part two of our conversation about my spooked up life with author J.D. Phillips. I did find that interesting that you weren't that old, you know, young teenager, and you knew to do that because a lot of times, I don't know, you're too scared to confront anything like that, or you don't know that you would have the power. So had you read a book, or did that just kind of feel intuitively to you like the right thing to do?
It was basically the only thing that I could think to do. I hadn't read anything, or again, I hadn't talked to anybody about it. I didn't really believe in like spirit guides or anything that much back then, but I did at some point ask whoever, you know, just for help to push him out. I don't know if that's what it was, or I don't know where it came from, but that was just the only thing I could think to do, and it worked. And I'm glad that I did learn that as early as I did, because it's something that I've carried with me ever since, and it's something that I've gotten more confident with as time has gone on.
Do you think that it pushed him out to the point that your parents quit having the experiences with him as well?
All of the negative, or the I guess more obnoxious things, did stop after that. You just had kind of, which is what's still there now, kind of the more playful thing, making the little noises or messing with a toy every now and then. But it's not, never in a way that felt malicious, or even like they were trying to bother anybody. Like they're just, maybe they're bored. I don't know.
Maybe it's timid is still there and Boots is gone. So timid isn't so scared and more playful.
She may be. I don't know. I didn't hear her after I got to a certain age. She stopped singing and I didn't hear her anymore. I do wonder a lot if she's still there, or hope I didn't offend her at any of the points when I was a little more scared of her. I don't know. I hope she's got peace wherever she's at.
Yeah. One thing that I did connect with, because when I was a kid, I didn't love looking in the mirror, because I always felt like something was going to pop up behind me. Because I always felt, when you live in an environment like that, you always feel watched anyway. And I don't know how to describe that. I think people who have experienced that know exactly what I'm talking about, that it's an intense feeling. Like there's someone there, you just don't see him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still will not sleep in a room if there's like a mirror. Well, I would prefer not to have the mirror in the room at all, but I definitely don't want to sleep with a mirror like facing where I'm sleeping.
And you saw something in the mirror a couple times.
Yeah, I did. Again, being stupid.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it was right around the time I think Candyman came out.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was daring each other to do the whole Candyman thing. And when I was in elementary school, we had done the Bloody Mary thing, which I did not initiate or really want to do, but the other kids had insisted we were going to do it. So I just kind of got stuck with that. And I didn't do the Candyman thing at our house either, but I was thinking about that kind of thing and thinking about the Bloody Mary thing and, again, being curious and stupid and looking at it. And then actually did, when I turned the light off, see she looked like a withered old woman. She may have been wearing a bride's dress. I'm not sure. And she was reaching toward me through the mirror.
I did not like that part. Out of me. Don't like that part.
And I never did it again. And to this day, I would prefer not to be anything reflective, really. I just prefer not to sit in front of it if I can help it.
No, I do not. I don't blame you. And I don't think that's paranormal what we're hearing. I think that was a cat.
Yeah, that's my cat, Mai. She's deciding sweet. She needs attention.
Well, mine is sound asleep behind me, so not meowing at this time. Could change it any second.
Yeah, it's just her.
Do you think when you grow up in an environment like that, I think I became very fascinated with it and afraid of it. I still am not in a comfortable relationship with the paranormal by any means, and I'm impressed that you were able to get some power and control. I always felt like I didn't have any. And so I still have experiences as an adult, though. And that's kind of continued through my whole life. And it sounds like that's the case with you as well. Mm-hmm. That you've had a lot of interesting experiences as an adult. Do you think that when you were a child and having that environment that you're living in every day, do you think that kind of opens you up a little bit to it? And you kind of carry that with you the rest of your life?
I think, for me, I always say, you know, I didn't have the luxury of not believing in it because it was always there. Mm-hmm. It was just something that I knew was there, and I didn't know what it was, but it existed and it was part of life every day. And so I guess if there is some kind of switch that gets opened by it, then it was opened like from day one for me. And then once you know it exists, I wrote about that in the book too. There was a point in my life where I tried to like plug my ears and just not acknowledge it or think about it or have anything to do with it anymore. And it didn't work because, you know, they want to be known. They're going to be known. And it doesn't matter if you want to pretend you don't notice or not. And so you might as well just embrace it and go with it. I'm always actually kind of jealous of people who tell me about the experiences they have that make them believe the first time, because I never had that. Like, it was always just there. Mm-hmm. And I guess so. I do wonder what it would be like if I hadn't grown up with it.
Yeah, would your life be the way it is now?
I probably not. I don't know. I don't know if I still would have ended up writing and doing the things that I do.
And there was an interesting story. Maybe you would like to share it. It was about you came across a CD in the store, and it was you were so drawn to this CD for whatever reason. You didn't even know. And then you went back and bought it, and then ended up like singing along to one of the songs that you shouldn't be singing to.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the strangest things, yeah, that's ever happened to me. Backstory, I had been writing a book, which I had some dream, and when I woke up, I had like the opening lines to the book in my head, and I wrote them down really quick, and I wasn't really sure what to do with them. And I tried several different versions of the book, and it would get so far and then it would kind of fall apart. And I was basing the main character on this guy that I kept seeing in my dreams. Then I was at the music store. I actually was just there with my mom running. She was running her errand. I was just hanging out. And I was drawn to the CD in the international section. It wasn't a band I'd ever heard of. I didn't recognize any of the song titles. It was just like this black and white picture of the dude on the front of the box that for some reason I was really drawn to. And I didn't buy it that day because I didn't know who they were, and I didn't want to buy it just because, for whatever reason, I liked the guy. But it kept bugging me and bugging me and bugging me until I went back and I got it. And like you said, I listened to it, and I was actually singing along to some of the songs, even though I had never heard them before. And eventually, when it got to the very last song, there was just whatever it was about it, it dawned on me that the voice was the voice I had imagined in my head for this character in my book, and that the dude on the front of the box was actually the guy that I had been dreaming about, that I had based my character on, so much so that I ended up having to change some things about the character because it was a little too on the nose. It was a really bizarre thing that I still don't really know how to explain the how and why of.
And you ended up writing the book.
Mm-hmm.
And that one's called Tainted?
Yep.
It's interesting to me. Would you have written that book had you not found this CD? Would you? Or it wouldn't be the same book, right?
It wouldn't be the same because whatever kept getting in the way for me finishing it in the way that felt right didn't fall into place until I listened to that CD, and then I listened to other music that he had made, and it added whatever when I was doing the final editing and this and that, it added the final missing pieces that made it feel right that hadn't been there before. So I definitely wouldn't have. And then I got it in my head that I should include some of his lyrics as a preface to the novel because it was a weird thing and it just felt like it should go together. And I was at a point where I was kind of considering not continuing with the publishing. I was just doing self-publishing at the time, which still kind of has an unfair stigma attached to it. But back then it was a lot worse. And so I was like, I don't know if this is really going anywhere. I don't know if I want to keep doing this. And everybody kind of told me I was crazy, which I was used to hearing at this point anyway, to try to get him to let me use his lyrics because I'm, a little self-published, middle-of-nowhere Midwest girl. Like, they just assumed he wouldn't be interested or even pay attention to it. And he was really sweet, and he was really kind, and he was very enthusiastic about it, and that kind of gave me the extra confidence and the feeling that, like, this is something I'm meant to be doing. And I don't know if I would have kept publishing my books, honestly, if he hadn't said yes, or if it hadn't worked out the way it did. So I'm always really grateful for the experience, weird as it was.
That was the plot twist I did not see coming in that story, was that you actually were able to connect with this guy. Because he's like from mm-hmm. Finland or someplace.
Yeah.
So I'm like reading along. And then when I realized, oh my God, like I didn't see that coming. And
the things that lined up to make mm-hmm. that happen is pretty crazy when you think about it. Yeah.
You just randomly being there and drawn to the international section at the music store. Mm-hmm. That in itself. And then going back to buy the CD.
I learned after that to pay more attention to those weird little feelings that I get. And even if I don't know why I'm compelled to do something, I do it. Because I figure there must be a reason.
Yeah. Now, once you moved out of the house, you moved on, you got your own house. Now, in the hauntings, you still have experiences happening mm-hmm. in your house that you were also drawn to the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was not the house that we originally came to look at. It was on the same street, but somebody had put an offer on the one we were coming to look at. And she said, well, there's also this one if you want to just check it out. And we were already here, so we figured we might as well. And as soon as I stepped in it, I could feel that it was occupied, that there was somebody there watching, and actually found that comforting. I was like, oh, this feels like home. This place is haunted. And I knew on that day that I wanted it. And so I said, you know, if I made the best offer I could, as if it's meant to be, then they'll accept it. It was way lower than what they wanted, but it was all I had, and they did accept it. So when I moved in here, the first several weeks or even months were pretty rough. The house had sat empty for quite some time before I moved in, so I think I definitely ruffled a couple feathers. They weren't used to anybody else being here, and they would be sliding things around in the office and messing with door latches. And they opened the bedroom door one day, and while I was in bed, and I told them not to do that anymore, and they didn't. It was a lot of kind of compromising, I think, trying to work around each other at first. They didn't really like the attention. I was excited about it, but they didn't really want me to pay attention to them, I don't think, because I tried to do an EVP, and I told them, you know, if they had anything they wanted to say, to let me know. And the tape player immediately shut itself off.
Oh, now that's interesting.
And I said, okay, if that is your way of letting me know that you don't want me to bother you, do it again. And I promise I won't bother you anymore. And I hit record and it shut itself off again. I said, okay. And I kept my word. I haven't, to this day, I haven't tried to do that again because I promised I wouldn't.
That's so crazy. It's like, no, we are not talking to you.
Yeah. It's like, just leave me alone. So yeah, I did the same thing where I did like the whole boundary thing. I'm like, you know, when I'm trying to sleep right now, you can go wherever else you want, but you don't bother me in the bedroom. Don't come in here. Don't mess with the door. There's, for some reason, a little latch lock inside. The two bedrooms are connected by a closet, and for some reason there's a latch lock on the inside of the door that leads to the other bedroom. And I had latched it initially, and somebody kept raising it and lowering it and raising it and lowering it when I was trying to sleep, and it was driving me nuts, as apparently they did not want it locked. So I have left it unlocked ever since, and they've never bothered it again. Just,
I need to take some lessons from you on how to take control. My house, I think, is a lot fine. Of times, my house is fine. I have no weird activity, but
I think a lot of times people feel silly because they feel like they're talking to no one or whatever. But it's like, even if you are, what does it hurt? You know, just lay it out.
I think it's good advice. Here's the boundaries. And it's not just for dealing with the paranormal. You know, I think we all need to establish boundaries.
Living people, yeah.
One thing I thought was really interesting about you after reading the book, because of your really, really creepy ass experience with Cricket, that you went on to, I don't even know how to describe what you do with dolls. It's kind of like your reimagining that. Yeah. So you take dolls and you kind of turn them into different dolls.
I make them creepier. Yeah,
you really do.
Usually.
Yeah. And I thought that was so surprising because I think I don't want to be that close to any dolls after that experience with Cricket. But you kind of embraced it in a way, maybe.
I kind of find them creepier before I paint them. And then like after I paint them, then they don't creep me out because I made them mine, I guess.
That's true. Yeah. You took charge of them.
New personalities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now do you sell?
I do have one I do have one that's haunted though. My uncle actually gifted her to me to paint. She's an old porcelain doll, but she's very mellow. She doesn't do anything. She just has that feeling about her that she does have someone attached to her, but you know, I've got other ghosts here too. So
she kind of fits in. She kind of fits in then, but you do have a Facebook page where people could look at the dolls, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's Bones and Stitches.
And it's just Bones with an N, Stitches, Bones and Stitches. Mm-hmm. So people can check that out. And where would be the best place for people to buy your book? And you've got more than one. I should ask that quickly. You've got Tainted.
I've got, I think, like 18 now.
Yeah, because I was looking online on Amazon, and I saw quite a few. But I did not see 18. That's impressive.
Amazon has all except the very first two. Those are out of print.
Okay.
And they unfortunately kind of got lost because they were on floppies way back when. And yeah. But yeah, they're all on Amazon. The algorithm tends to make it hard to find them, but I do have an author page on there. That's just author JD, I think. I have the direct link on my social media pages and in the books, I think. But yeah, all of them are listed on my author page on Amazon.
And that's where I downloaded the book, because I actually do Kindle Unlimited, and I was able to just download the book and read it.
Yeah,
right
all
there.
Of mine are on Kindle and paperback both.
I enjoyed the book. The way I said that made it sound like I didn't. I enjoyed the book, but it made me a little emotional because it made me remind me of me and how I felt growing up in that house. And yours was even, it wasn't just the house, it was the surrounding area. Because there's this, I don't want to give away everything in the book because there's lots more to read. But like there's this whole creepy thing with animals in the yard and so it just sounds like it was more than just the house. It was that whole area.
Mm-hmm.
So for little JD, it was like there wasn't a place for you to escape to. You know what I mean? You couldn't go outside. At least when I was a kid, I would, when it got really intense in the house, and it would. And sometimes it was just this overwhelming feeling of run. I don't know how else to explain that. And I would run outside. Outside, I felt fine. But I think I felt sad for young you because even if you ran outside, you weren't any safer out there. You couldn't get away from it.
Yeah, it was. And I felt that way when we would leave too. Like, we'd think it was followed. Like, it was just like, it felt like it was everywhere. Weird things would happen in other places too. And it was like, it's everywhere.
And then your cousin comes in the room's red and at night and doesn't want to come back again.
I had several people who stayed the night and never stayed again.
That was like me. My sister and I were talking about it recently, and I said, you know, I'm a very social person and always have been, but I don't remember ever having anyone come to my house and spend the night. I do remember going to lots of other houses and spending the night, but I don't remember that ever happening at my house. And I'm like, I think I know why. Like, they didn't want to. I'm sure I invited them, but my poor friends are like, who wants to stay at Carol's house? That'd be crazy. So that's why
I think that sometimes now, too.
But I did enjoy reading the book because it just made me think, you know, there are other people who have gone through similar experiences. How to explain it? I don't know. I don't know how that all happens and why it happens. But I thought it was really interesting. So I was really glad that I came across your book. And I'm really happy that you agreed to do the show with me. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
And it's My Spooked Up Life. It's Growing Up Haunted by J.D. Phillips. And you can buy it on Amazon. But thanks so much for taking the time to do this.
Well, thank you.
And that wraps up our conversation with author J.D. Phillips. You can find her book, My Spooked Up Life, Growing Up Haunted, on Amazon or wherever books are sold. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, you'll get the archive and advance episodes, everything without commercials. Become a Gravekeeper. You can sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it 3 days free, or just go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.
This is Jay Shetty from On Purpose with Jay Shetty. Push it, bend it, flex it. Introducing the latest rule-bending innovation from Brooks Running, the new Glycerin Flex. Feel the freedom with a cushioned shoe made to move with you so that you can bend or flex the rules. Brooks' new strategically segmented midsole works as an extension of your body, putting you in control of the run like never before. Want to feel the best parts of your run? Flex the rules in the new Glycerin Flex. Let's run there. Shop now at brooksrunning.com.
You ever wonder how far an EV can take you on one charge? Well, most people drive about 40 miles a day, which means you can do all daily stuff no problem. Go to work, grab the kids at school, get the groceries, and still have enough charge to visit your in-laws in the next county. But they don't need to know that. And the best part? You won't have to buy gas at all. The way forward is electric. Explore EVs that fit your life at electricforall.org.
What's up, Uso? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.